Back in the day when we were mere Neanderthals, we were scared of slimy reptiles, chunky spiders, and sharp-clawed monsters because they posed a threat to our everyday life. As Homo sapiens, we have kept many of those core scares, but now we have incorporated new creep factors such as zombies and vampires. Come spoop out on the next Region Nerd Alert this Saturday at 7 p.m. as we discuss what makes us go bump in the night right here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Rhymed feet with feel.
Yeah.
I can feel it in my feet. The emerald's power allows me to feel. That was not a very good rhyme. Anyways, I am Jose Rodriguez, a.k.a. host of Region Nerd Alert, right here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And if you missed this episode or want to hear previous episodes, we are on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and...
what's the app?
NPR One app.
NPR One app. And we have a special guest calling in from the phone tonight. I will get to that shortly, but let's wrap this up. Goodbye, everybody. Good night.
Bye.
Wrap up the intros. This is what I meant to say. To my left, we have
Mike, aka Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
And then you do fantastic photography.
I do photography. Yeah, it's Singularity Photography.
Singularity. And if you're living in the region, you can contact Mike for photos, correct?
Hit me up on that Instagram.
On the Instagram. There you go. And to his left is absolutely no one because it is just me and Mike in studio. But we have a special Halloween guest caller.
Bah, bah, bah. It's me, the regular guest.
And yes, you. Who are you?
Oh, Skylar. But yeah, you could find my stuff. I do music at ovallier.bandcamp.com or officially Ova on Twitter.
There you go. All right. And what are you doing right now?
I am currently at home in front of the computer, ready to search up any sort of research we might need.
There you go. And what are you wearing right now?
I am wearing a pair of pants, a pair of socks, and a shirt.
So you are wearing a shirt?
I am wearing a shirt.
All right, there we go. Do you have any refreshments in front of you?
I have a bottle of water.
Do you have any candy?
I do not.
Well, there's your first cardinal mistake.
Well, there you go. But
that's true.
The reason I say candy, get out your candy corn, those weird clay edible pumpkin that's like candy corn,
mm-hmm.
The black licorice strips, popcorn
fish.
Balls.
Are you guys fans of candy corn?
No.
I love candy corn.
I don't.
Candy corn doesn't do it for me. It's like...
Well, you don't do it for me.
Compressed sugar.
Or if you're real monster toothpaste.
Well, speaking of monster, we are talking about Halloween stuff all month long.
Yeah.
And this is episode number 2 of this Halloween fun time, because I can't say another word because it's trademark, apparently. So today we are talking about the evolution of horror, the evolution of our most basic cardinal direction fears, the fear of the dark, fear of squishy things, fear of deformity, fear of snakes, fear of rats.
Many tiny legs skittering across things.
Insects, fear of death, fear of
anything
others.
Anything with more than 4 legs.
There's fear for everything. And we are going to get to the most basic fears of being afraid of spiders and snakes to fears we have today. Like, you're going to like this one. Nomophobia. Can you guess what that is?
The fear of gnomes?
It's the fear of not having your phone.
Really?
So it's something new that's being...
Gnome phobia?
Nomophobia, which sounds like nomophobia, but anyways, yeah. So they're actually studying that. It's the fear of lack of phone. And it is...
That's weird.
It's a brand new fear. It's out now. Go catch it. But
pick it up at your local Apple store.
Your local Apple store. But anyways, yeah, we're going to get this started. And Mike, I want you to start it off because you go back further than I do in my list. Well, not including the Neanderthal days, like fear of paintings on the walls of monsters.
And yeah.
Old
oh, man.
Stories drawn from elders and stuff.
Elders.
But, speaking of like horror movies and like, I guess, tropes, like not necessarily a fear. Well, it could be a fear if you have nomophobia. But I always wanted to research something, like truly research something, like go to the library.
Mean like going through the archives and the old news clippings?
Yeah, like, let me get the Daily Fugle, 1895, Tuesday, October. And then just...
Every time I see one of those, like in a movie or something, I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to do that type of research.
Oh, right. Like, you can just type in the date and then you could find it online.
Yeah.
And you could still go to the libraries and find clippings and stuff archived in there. Computers, but I'm sure you can do it from like your home computer too, or Wikipedia.
Well, the dark web is the library.
That's the new dark web.
Moving on to like moving on to movies. The first horror movie. What do you think it is?
Skyler.
The first
The
very first horror movie.
I did some research on this.
I'm going to say it was a Swamp Thing.
Way farther back.
Yeah.
If I were to guess without already doing the research, I would think...
Just death itself.
Death, you said?
Yeah, death. Pure raw death.
I'm just watching someone die. Man, that is scary. Have you seen that? No, not yet.
Oh, was it the train thing?
The train thing.
There, I thought I heard something somewhere, like they filmed this like train coming into the station or something, and when people sat in front of it at the movie theater and saw the train coming, it looked so real that like people were having a heart attack.
No, I think
I know what you're talking about. I don't know if that was necessarily a horror movie, but I remember, yeah, people were freaked out at that.
So the first horror movie is called The House of the Devil in 1896.
And I watched it too.
Of course it's the devil.
It's weird.
It's on YouTube right now.
Yeah, it's weird because it's considered the first horror movie, but it's not scary. It's more of like a comedy. It's like where everything started. But it's taken like more of a comedic tone.
It's more of like the first time we see on the screen something talking about the supernatural or like the occult.
Anytime I think of old movies, I always think of like Broadway play type productions just being filmed.
Same, actually. Just little effects that they can't do live.
Yeah, there's some really cool techniques that they use though, like double exposures and. Oh, I forgot what the technique is called where you layer two film reels over each other.
Mm. Yeah, I forgot the names of all the techniques, but like there's like ways you can cut the film and draw on it and
it was
the way you tape it together and stuff.
It was pretty dope. So from that point to the 1920s, again, it was religious-based stuff. From the 1920s to 1930s, that's where you get your literary inspirations. Dracula, Frankenstein. This is where...
Now, in the 20s, though, we did have, like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's...
And I guess the Phantom of the Opera, the original, Nosferatu came out of that as well.
Yeah, this is where you, like, when people think of, like, old horror, this is it.
Yeah, when I think of like a lot of the
the from the 1890s to like the 1920s.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of like gothic horror.
Yep.
And I know we see a lot of that throughout the years, but it was really prominent. That was like, how can we convey scary on the screen? And honestly, since everything was just black and white anyways, the only big colors that popped, like, okay, how can I make this scary? Okay, let's make it like all black with the contrast.
Yeah.
I feel like when I think of contrast, I think of like the gothic times, you know, like
yeah.
goths in general, you know.
It was what was I going to say here? There was the War of the Worlds broadcast took place in 1932, I think it was. 1938. And this is before television was popular. This is before everybody had a TV in their house. If you don't know what the War of the Worlds broadcast is, it took place.
It was Orson Welles, right?
It was H.G. Wells.
Or H.G. Wells.
Yeah. It was a broadcast. It was a play, basically, on the radio. And people were talking about these aliens coming down to Earth and invading Earth. Well, people would switch over to it and hear it. And not catch that it was a play.
Yeah, it was told in the middle of, like, their favorite programming as well.
Yeah.
Like, it was regularly scheduled programming for the radio, except they'd have these breaking news bulletins of fires in Los Angeles or whatever. Oh, now there's little green men coming out.
Yeah.
And people lost their stuff.
People were seriously, they said they were smelling smoke. They were seeing things. They were seeing lights. And it was like, it was just a weird case of mass hysteria because of the medium that they portrayed it through.
And legally, that's still one of the reasons why today in radio, you have to have disclaimers every so often through, like, syndicated shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, wait, that happened yesterday? What's going on? I mean, no, that was a long time ago.
The 40s were a weird era because it was like Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein, or meet the Mummy, or Frankenstein. I forgot which one.
That's what I put too. Like just all the classics. Like,
yeah.
When I think of like a classic movie monster, I a lot of them are from the 40s.
Yeah, like Frankenstein meets werewolf. Like it was a weird era.
Wasn't there like the house? A lot of houses, like House of Frankenstein, House of Vampire or Dracula.
Oh yeah.
Or whatever.
If there was a monster, there was a house associated.
Yep.
And also the 30s, too, there was sort of like the rise of like the zombie flicks, or at least the zombies that we know of today, like the lifeless things, I guess, like White Zombie and I forgot the other one. I should have wrote it down. But anyways, yeah, White Zombie came out in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And zombies also had their own little evolution, like separate from.
Oh, yeah. Zombies kind of went their own way.
Yeah, and I couldn't find the video, but I seen something that it was really political as well. Like they sort of follow you fear the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
It's the slow creeping zombie, and then you fear of like the Spanish flu, but like all the pathogens happened like the 90s or something like that.
Yeah,
and like I said, I couldn't find the video, but
With the zombies, it was like a societal like study too, because the slow zombies were viewed as consumers.
Yeah, that too.
Like it was, yep. They were just consumers. They would just mindlessly go towards their base needs and just consume, literally.
Someone said that it's always been the zombie, and in terms of left and right, Democrat and conservative, it's always been like zombies versus vampires. Like the left's worst fear is just like a mindless consumer, like just taking over and spreading like a virus throughout America.
Mm-hmm.
And the right's biggest fear is this sexy, open-minded, non-monogamous vampire, which I can totally get a part of.
Oh man.
Sign me up to be a vampire.
Same. But the 50s is kind of goofy because the 50s is around the time of the nuke. It was the nuclear era. So that's where everybody's biggest fear was the Red Menace. It was nuclear warheads dropping everywhere. And that's where we see the giant bug come to play. The giant ant, the giant spider.
The fear of also deformity, too.
Like. Yeah.
Radioactive.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Godzilla was from this era.
Heck yeah. Wasp Woman.
Yeah, the Fly.
Right, yep.
Just weird, like, weird mutations and all that stuff came from the nuclear era.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah, like, you think of the 50s and you see those, like, hide under your desk for a nuclear bomb, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Like,
wasn't that around the time, like, 50s, 60s, like, the reefer madness, the fear of, like, the gays coming in.
Yeah,
like, there's all that, and... It's weird because you can almost consider those like horror movies. I mean, they're straight up propaganda, but you can almost the way that those stories were told was just like I said, stories. Like they were told like an old campfire tale. Like Jimmy goes home on his bike every Tuesday, blah blah blah. But one day he forgets his bike, and an older gentleman that his dad knows offers to give him a ride.
Yeah,
I was just about to say, weren't there like introductional or like instructional videos on how to avoid gays?
Yes,
right. And the thing is that they were told in a way like that was like horror movies. Now John may seem like a regular man, but he's actually a gay.
Yeah, they built it up like they were like Jason.
Right, exactly.
Like they were Jason Voorhees. Like, it's nuts.
Right, like they had
But yeah, like it was a lot of like invasion, the nuclear threats and all this stuff. Moving to the 60s, that's where the 60s and 70s is where all of the big movies came from. When I say big movies, I'm talking Poltergeist. I'm talking Psycho. I'm talking Jaws. I'm talking, Birds.
Well, you said 60s, 70s?
60s, 70s, yeah.
Mm.
That's where all the big movies
came
from.
Wait, what year did Poltergeist came out?
Poltergeist was... I'm thinking the 80s. Never mind. I put Poltergeist in the 70s. But, yeah, it was just, that's where, like, all the big movies that we know came from.
Mm-hmm. I'd say, too, like, big movies, because for our older listeners, you'll be like, what? The 40s was mine. Like, for our age, you know, like, the millennials, I'd say our earliest memories of, like, the classic horror movie, that was our classics.
Yeah, that's, like, those are the classics.
Like Rosemary's Baby, Psycho, Little Shop of Horrors, Manos. Jaws, yep. Like all the oldest horror movies I could think of that I've seen, like at a young age, were probably the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. Moving to the 80s, that's the iconic era. Like, that's where... that's where Poltergeist is. That's where a lot of the slasher films are, like Jason and Freddy Krueger and all that. That's where all of them live, is the 80s. Like, 80s were like the slasher era.
Oh, right.
Like, it was
the Hellraiser, Nightmare on Elm Street.
It was a lot of that. And then getting to the 90s, the 90s were weird, man. 90s were weird when it comes to movies. Like, it seemed horror kind of lost its, like, identity until the late 90s, because it seemed like a lot of it was technological-based.
Oh, and, yeah, that fear of technology.
Yeah, like, it was the fear of the technology, and it just, it's hard to nail what the 90s was in terms of horror. Like, whereas, you know, the 50s, you could say it's the atomic era, because that's what it was, but the 90s, it was just...
And we have time, so we're just going through them right now, and then we're going to go back and make our own inferences about, like, maybe we can call each decade its own thing.
Yeah.
Because I found, too, like, sort of like, I guess, the cusp years, like 70s going into 80s, like 78, 79, 77, or 80s going in the 90s, there's... sort of like those movies were like the trendsetters.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, 1978 is when Halloween came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like after that, a lot of the not familial horror, as in like your stepdad's gonna get you or something like that, but more of like suburban horror.
Yeah.
Like 1978, Halloween sort of started like the Nightmare on Elm Street happening right down the street from you, you know, Poltergeist right in your own home, like Hellraiser, mm-hmm. even. That was another suburban one.
Yeah, in the 70s, look at The Exorcist. Look at The Exorcist had, like, the effect that had on people. Like, people were literally fainting, throwing up. They thought they heard voices. People were going to the hospitals because of the effect that The Exorcist had on them.
I'd say, too, like the early 70s was a lot of a demonic activity.
Yeah, it was like a resurgence, almost.
Like not necessarily, like, religious, like religion, like demon thing. I can't even...
Demonicize.
This video is going to get demonic-sized. But anyways, yeah, you had, like, The Exorcist, Suspiria was also
Suspiria,
in the...
Suspiria, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amityville Horror, like, you... The Exorcist, yeah, The Omen, like, you have... Even Carrie, like, that wasn't super... Well, actually, that was religious as hell. What am I saying?
Oh, her mom was a zealot.
Yeah, like, that... There was definitely a resurgence in the 70s of the religiousness. More so, less, like, if you aren't good, then you'll go to hell. But
yeah,
the actual personification of the devil is what you have to be afraid of. Like, he's going to literally touch you. And it's not like, oh, I'm afraid to do something bad. Like, no... Run for your life.
Yeah, like...
Right, he can physically harm, you know.
Oh, crap, he's harming us?
Well, look at The Omen. The Omen is insane because that is literally a movie about the Antichrist.
Right.
And it's a child. Like, what do you do about that? Like, it's such a crazy thing.
Especially, like, from the main character's perspective, it's your own child.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of The Omen, like, the 2000s, too, like, the 2000s were all remakes. Like, it's just a ton of remakes.
Oh, yeah, going to the 2000s. I'd also say...
it's also a lot of torture. Like, a lot of, like, really, like, not cringy, but wincy. I can't say what they call it.
Like, gory?
It's torture blank.
Oh.
Yeah, it's that's where, like, your Itchy the Killer, your Saw lives... that's where all that stuff lives, and it's between that.
Is Hostel from the early 2000s?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hostel. I forgot Jake Gyllenhaal's in that.
Is he?
Yeah, he's like he's the Hostel.
I didn't know Jake Gyllenhaal was in there.
Yeah, he's the guy that sets him up.
I honestly can't remember. I seen
or they cast him for the bathhouse.
If he sets him up, I don't blame him because he's a very attractive man. I'd follow him anywhere.
Like, oh yeah. I'd follow him down those mountains.
Wait, I thought you hated Jake Gyllenhaal, Mike.
No.
Oh, you hate Justin Long.
Yes.
Oh, yep, that's true.
Aren't they, like, the same guy?
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding.
You're thinking of Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Who is very nice looking. Attractive. She's a pretty girl, then I want to give her flowers. But going in the 2010s because we've lived the decade. The decade is complete.
Well, I mean,
it is.
Yeah, it's the horror is finishing up strong with the 2010s.
That's when it starts to bleed in. It breaks that fourth wall and interacts with our daily lives. But I put The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like, I did a lot of zombie research and then I had to do some work, so I couldn't do much else research. But the 2010 Walking Dead started, and I feel like zombie wise, they got faster, like World War Z.
Yeah, that's the weird thing too about zombies is they started off just like dudes in clothes with just a bit of makeup on with Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, literal just old people.
Just dudes in
They're
clothes.
All just in mortuary looking.
Yeah, and then like... then
everyone in the audience is recording.
You start like...
Oh, that was my vote. Continue talking.
Anyways. Yeah, like... So,
that was the jump scare for this podcast. Sorry, I had to put the... I'm also working the radio waves now, so if you need an explanation for what happened on... October 7th at 8 o'clock.
Well, there you go. But yeah, like it was just dudes in clothes, and then it went to like more like gruesome, and they were still slow. And then it was somewhere in like the 90s to the 2000s, they just ran. They just started running. And then you look at like hashtag Alive, you look at Kingdom, you look at like the Korean zombie films, and that seems like the next evolution of the zombies, or at least I hope it is, because
running even further.
Yeah, like the, like with the Korean zombies versus our zombies, like with our zombies you get bit and you have like an indeterminate amount of time before you
you can hide it for a few days.
Yeah, you could. It's like it's either an hour or like a month. Like nobody, there's no set time.
I feel like that's a new fear too. Like, okay, before it's one thing if you get bit and you instantly turn into a zombie, whatever. But,
well, and now you know the new zombies, the symptoms aren't going to show up for 14 days.
And I feel like that's a very real, I feel like that's the next stage of fear in a society where we have the answer for almost everything in terms of medical stuff. You know, like if you have these symptoms, like people are living with AIDS and beating AIDS and HIV now. Like, well, I wouldn't say AIDS, but HIV definitely. And people are like, these deadly diseases doesn't like have a shock value like it used to anymore. And the biggest fears, I would say, in I guess this pathogen type horror is, okay, instantaneous reaction that I can't take out my insurance card and go get a checkup to see the symptoms.
I can't do anything about it.
Like, it happens so fast, you can't do anything about it. And I feel like, in terms of zombies, definitely, like, that is a pretty big fear.
Yeah, that's why I like the Korean zombies, because you get bit, and then within a minute, you're a zombie.
There's no hiding a bite. Like,
you're done. Like, you are done. And it's so fast. They snap up so quick. Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Watch Kingdom, please. It's so good.
I need to watch. And the Train of Busan.
Train to Busan.
Here's my Chains of Busan. Train to Busan. What you doing in Odessa?
Odessa.
Oh, you know this Train's a bus.
What are you going to Odessa for? I just doing a runaway from Knockemstiff County just around the corner. Speaking of, on Netflix, The Devil Within Me Is Still Alive is on Netflix now, featuring, what is that called, Skylar?
The Devil All the Time.
The Devil All the Time. That's a great movie. Like, I enjoyed it. I have not enjoyed that type of movie in a while, and it's a good watch. If you want some... There's some killing in it.
Nice little slow burn. It's a good like evolving film.
And it's got Spider-Man.
It's got Spider-Man.
Winter Soldier. Batman.
Winter Soldier.
Cedric Diggory.
Batman doing a horrible accent.
What did he say about the red meat and the white meat?
Now we're down here and we're accepting this red meat. And this white meat. And I will go ahead and sacrifice myself and eat this very poor casserole.
But anyways, let's take a step back now. You know, we still got some time here. Let's start with the generations, so the decades, and notice maybe some fears instilled within them. Like, we talked about the 50s having like the nuclear threats and the atomic fear, you know. So let's take it a step back. So let's go to the 20s, the 20s. What do you think we can call the 20s? Like, you have the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I almost want to say, like, it wasn't even a genre at that point. It was almost like the experimental phase of film itself, because everything looks scary.
Yeah.
Back then, like the sci-fi, any sort of special effect looked really scary because of the contrast, I think.
Yeah, just how they shot, because that was the rise of German Expressionism. That's where like Nosferatu came into play. I don't know, it's weird to like try to give that a name, because it is the classics. Like,
yeah.
I could just say like the classics, because that's what they are. Like you just Google horror movie and it's like Nosferatu,
right?
Like, that's the one that everybody thinks about.
Yeah. So, well, what would you call it, Skylar?
I'd almost just say the beginning, because like it was a little bit of everything. It wasn't like strictly horror. Like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde is like a bit of a scary tale, but it's just a tale, and it's kind of, it's like showcase on film, and it happens to be one of the first.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought we lost you for a second. No. But yeah, we can call them like, you know, the beginning, you know, the OG classics, original number one. But and then when we go to the 30s, like what films come from the 30s? Like I have the Frankenstein.
I have one M. It's not necessarily a horror, but it's a thriller film, and it's basically like about this effort to catch a child murderer.
Did that come from the 30s? You said,
yeah,
1933. Yeah.
Okay. So
that's like Dracula, the Mummy,
Dracula,
King Kong. Bride of Frankenstein.
It's also very Hollywood, I would say.
Yeah.
Even like bleeding into the 40s too, like 30s and 40s, like big Hollywood.
It's like the Monster Mash era.
Monster Mash. I like that. Yeah, Monster Mash Hollywood era with the classic horror movies and the Frankensteins. Because when did the story of Frankenstein come out?
Oh, that was Penny Dreadful. That was back in the 18th
century. Well, I knew it was like it was written by like a little girl. For like a contest.
I thought it was Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley, mm-hmm. That's who it is, yep. But yeah, it's more of the, like the Hollywood era. And then we get to the 50s, we called that the atomic era with these body mutations, because you said like the Fly came out of it, Creature of the Black Lagoon, Godzilla.
Them,
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah. Like the OG Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Body Snatchers.
But speaking of, that gives me a good plug for this next thing. Lakeshore PBS has a fantastic app with that's basically free. And you can go on there and just type in Lakeshore as your main PBS station, and they'll have tons of things that right in your backyard, Lakeshore is putting on productions. And on top of that, October is their special Halloween month. October 3rd was Man in the Attic. October, that's horror. The Jackie Robinson story.
Ooh.
Night of the Living Dead is actually the spotlight film of the month. So you can catch that on there. That was in 1968. Let's see what's coming up. The Tingler, October 17th. So that's from, you'll have it in time. October 17th at 10 on the Lakeshore Classic Movies app. Just go to Lakeshore PBS. I think there's a Fire Stick or on your desktop, and you can see all these movies. And they come out at certain times. If you have cable, whoever has cable or dish anymore, I'm not hating on you. Like, hey, if you got money to burn, go ahead and get cable. But The Tingler, also The Last Man on Earth, which is a good Vincent Price film, if you're a fan of that. Hear that sigh? I know a Vincent Price film. But anyways, The Wasp Woman, where we were just talking about, that's also going to be on there. So Little Shop of Horrors with Jack Nicholson, the original, 1960. And here's a little trivia nugget. The shooting schedule for Little Shop of Horrors was 2 days and one night because Corman had made a bet that he could make a movie in 2 days. The film went on to be adapted into a long-running off-Broadway musical, which was remade into the 1986 film with, Aurora Borealis? What's his name?
Aurora Borealis?
Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis.
Yeah. but yeah. So that's, if you want to see a film that was made in 2 days and one night with Jack Nicholson, young Jack Nicholson being all Nicholson-y.
Oh, man, I love Jack Nicholson. Cool. I got a fun David Boreanaz thing to tell you after this.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's David Boreanaz?
He was Angel. Played in Bones.
Oh, Bones. Yeah.
Old Bones.
Man, Bones. We haven't talked about that. Like, we're speaking of fears, like, we're talking about some, like, spiders, slimy things, deformity. When, like, did this fear of, not necessarily law, but, like, not even a fear. Like, there was an association and, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, everyone's, like, one did, like, the CSIs, the Law and Orders and stuff. Bones is another thing. Like, those, if you were to tell someone the premise of these shows that came out on, like, a weekly basis to, like, someone in the 60s and stuff or whatever, I would say that's, like, horror in itself.
Oh, they would be just destroyed. They'd be distraught. They wouldn't know what to do because at a certain point, like, you look at these shows and it's like, man, there's a serial killer everywhere, every day. And then, always. There's always another killer.
And it's not just serial killers as in, like, slashers. Like, it's... Or anything.
Your next-door neighbor.
Right. Like, man, this guy looks so normal, he could be my next-door neighbor. And that's in the... that's another thing, like, the news, too. Like, the news... Well, the news is always scary if you look at it like that, but... when we had all these famous serial killers, like, they were famous because that was, like, the hot thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, Charles Bundy, Madison Square Garden, whatever their name is.
Charles Bundy. Madison Square Garden.
But,
All right, good old Chuck Bundy.
Old Chuck Bundy.
Old Chet Bundy.
So, it was back, it's because back in the 70s, there was no classification for that. Like, the classification for serial killers and all this stuff is fairly recent because of the formation of the Behavioral Science Unit in the FBI.
Oh, so, right. Even, yeah. Like, I'd say another thing that instills horror in people is that little thing at the bottom that says, based on true events.
Oh, yeah.
Or based on a true story.
Those words immediately make, like, any horror experience a little more real.
Right, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like The Exorcist. Like it,
oh, dude.
If you see something so terrifying and it says, oh, that's one thing, but based on true events.
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch Project.
They thought that was, like...
Like, people legitimately thought that was real because those people kept such a low profile, like, everybody thought they were gone.
Love the most unfamous people we can find.
Seriously, like they told them, they told them, like, okay, you guys, like, I think, I don't know if it was a contract thing, but they told them, like, okay, for the next, like, 3 months after this movie comes out, you need to be a ghost.
And then that came out in 99, and that spawned the shaky cam footage, which is a whole other. I feel like that goes off of the based on the true events thing. Like, how can we make this as believable as possible?
Well, put it in a hand cam.
Right, put in the hand shaky cam. Like, have it seem like your best friend's filming. And
that's got to be my least favorite form of horror. Honestly, is the found footage.
Found footage, the first run through of Blair Witch, I was okay with because it was new. Like, it was the new thing.
Yeah.
Even Paranormal Activity, because that was like, okay. Imagine Blair Witch, but, like, from security footage in a home. That's new. See, I really like that. But, and then it just kept barreling on from there. Like, oh, now Snapchat has, like, a Snapchat horror movie or a Zoom meeting horror.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's bonkers.
It's cheesy.
See, the thing with Blair Witch Project is nothing was ever done like that before. Like, ever. And then with Paranormal Activity, it made sense in the movie why they were recording all the time. For me, you need to be able to sell to me why they're constantly recording everything.
Oh, right.
Like The Visit, for example, when those two kids go to visit their grandparents. Plot twist, I'm not going to say anything. But those kids are filming with $5,000 cameras in the movie. And really? It's like
at all times.
Yeah, at all times. It's like, okay, why?
It's not a documentary.
Like. Yeah, it's not a documentary. Sell to me why these kids are filming with this equipment constantly.
You know who does a really good job at not the found footage, but making me believe it's real? And that's honestly the most recent thing I can think of that I thought was real. Freaking The Fourth Kind, that alien movie.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the movie theater. I'm like, all right, this is going to be an alien movie. Right out the gates, hi, I'm Mila Jovovich, and I will be playing blah, 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 who has experienced these encounters. I'm like, okay, they're right out the bat saying, you know, they're acting and it's not real.
Yeah.
And then they compared the found footage with the actor's footage. I'm like, okay, this real footage is starting to bleed into, like, I can't believe it's not butter. Like, oh my. If you've seen that movie, the way they just crossfade the real and the fake is, it blew my mind. I had to look up. I was fooled. Like, I was like, is this real? Are these people real? Like,
if you want a good movie that's going to make you question whether it's real or not, you need to watch Lake Mungo.
Lake Mungo.
Lake Mungo.
What is that one?
That was all right.
It's a movie, or it's a documentary about a girl, or about a girl that dies, and it's her family coping with it, but spooky things happen. And
I love that.
It's weird because the actors are good enough actors to make you believe that they're not actors, and they're just people talking to a documentary.
I kind of like if they sell me on it, like you said, like, you have to sell me right away that this could be believable in order for me to enjoy it. Not like, hey, we're here with this awesome camera crew and lighting just for the heck of it.
If you watch Lake Mungo, go watch it or put it on like you're watching a documentary. Like, get yourself in the mindset that, okay, I'm watching a documentary. Because there's a part in there that gave me, like, legitimate chills.
I need to see that.
And only one other movie has done that, and that is Hereditary.
Ooh, Hereditary is so good.
I don't know why people say that they don't like that movie. It's so good. Sorry.
But, yeah, any final thoughts you have, Skyler? The people want to hear from you.
Oh,
specifically,
man,
you're on the spot.
All right. Well, I'll say that I'm definitely in for the ride that new horror has coming. I am definitely a fan of films like Hereditary and The Witch, as well as Peele's movies.
Midsommar,
and
The Lighthouse. I am also excited, yes.
The Lighthouse, Get Out. Like, there's a lot of really, really cool ideas. And fresh things, as well as just, like, kind of going back to the basics. Like, one of the reasons Hereditary had such terrifying moments is because there's long, drawn-out scenes, and you're kind of, like, in your own mind where you're like, am I seeing that? Is that really there? Like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, there's those long moments of dread, and it's kind of getting out of the super cheese factor era, and I'm excited to see what's coming out, especially out of A24, I think, right?
A24.
That's that Blumhouse, like, really good forerunners of modern horror, and I look forward to future horror films.
I will say, like, there've definitely been some tides of horror, you know, like, there's the resurgence, like, in the 2000s, like, with The Ring and The Grudge, like, that J-horror and, you know, the found footage. I do appreciate how films are starting to go in the direction of originality, like, stories I've never seen or heard of before. Like you said, those long, drawn-out sequences, almost like if this is a bad example, but like Spike Lee or David Lynch, they were sort of seen as experimental and sort of out there. But a lot of these new directors are drawing from that, and it's sort of becoming the basics now. Like, it's no longer like Eraserhead's out there, out of this world crazy. Like, they're drawing from that to make it the new normal.
And they're going back to, like, relying on the actual story of the film. And The horror is, like, obviously throughout the film, but, like, the story is so much there, and there's something to pick apart, and it's not just, like, a bunch of teenagers get murdered, a lot of boobs are shown, and a lot of blood is shed. It's, like, there is a lot of bloodshed, but it comes in its, like, in its times, and a lot of sequences of, like, very, very terrible horror, but also very long sequences of building dread.
Exactly. Like, that, the buildup is just as important as, like, the climax.
The payoff.
Right. Like, you take Midsommar. Like, that movie is there's not a lot of gore in it, but when there is, it's intense. It's like 11 gore. Like, okay, the majority of the movie is like the story, and you know, you have these weird, creepy elements, and then there, it's like people are desensitized to like that type of cheap prosthetics nowadays.
Yeah.
And you have to find new ways to make it fresh. And that's by presenting it in a way that's sort of haphazardly, like, okay, now stuff is getting real. Like, this is, you're getting into like the story, and then wham, someone head explodes or something like that. Yeah. Like, okay, that was weird, because I was really getting absorbed into this world. And oh, Midsommar does a fantastic job of it. Like, I've ever since like I've seen that, I've heard criticisms of it, you know, like mm-hmm. it's not as good as like his previous work. But honestly, the way they put you in a POV situation that's not shaky cam, and they do it right, like they put you in the story without having to make it realistically like you're there, like virtual reality.
Yeah, it's the movie plays the audience. Like,
yep.
Like the story of her being indoctrinated into this cult, essentially, you're living that too, because the way the movie goes, you are also being indoctrinated. And you just don't know it.
I feel like a lot of that's like sort of like eye level perspective too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not POV, like, what's his name? Hurricane Tom or whatever. Hardcore Henry.
Hurricane Tom.
Dude, I suck with names and dates. This is the worst episode.
Good old Chuck Bundy.
Chuck Bundy.
But yeah, like, I appreciate a good POV that's not, this is you, run. You know, like, I don't have to have that to have like that eye level perspective. But anyways, with that, thank you guys for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
It was a very interesting conversation. It was a very, did a lot of homework on this one, so I appreciate you guys doing the homework and coming in.
Oh, I got to the point, like, I was like, yeah, this is only going to be an hour, and I'm here, like, 15 tabs deep.
15? Honestly, people at home, like, this is the month to start really digging into this stuff. Go on 4chan. Go on the deep web. Go look for your own adventures and find bodies and discover things that you've never discovered before in bad neighborhoods. And please don't do that.
No, yeah, don't do that. Ignore everything that ignore was, everything that was just,
said. Just said in the last 2 seconds or 5 seconds. But anyways, I'm Jose Rodriguez, and I hope you guys have a very spooky time this October. I know it's hard because of, you know, COVID and trick-or-treating getting canceled, but you know what? You shouldn't have trusted candy from strangers to begin with. Like, oh, stranger just gives me candy. There's a razor blade in it. Surprise. Like,
yeah.
Don't be surprised.
Don't be that guy that gives out toothpaste.
Right. There's no surprise. Wait,
Mike, you have to tell me. What
that
is
that razor blade?
You keep saying toothpaste and candy. Have you been given toothpaste
yes,
before?
Yes, many times.
Oh, my God. Who gives out? Oh, man. If someone's giving me toothpaste, they're getting toilet paper rolls.
I'll take the candy corn. I hate candy corn over toothpaste. Don't give me toothpaste when I'm supposed to get candy.
Like, I understand what they're trying to do, but
now is not the time.
Right. Unless they make, like, no, not even. I was like, toothpaste candy, but, like, no, not even.
Well,
that's just mint. It's peppermint.
I got to say, I'll accept the toothpaste because that's, like, the only acceptable trick that you can do, because the razor blades, that's way out of the question. That's not a trick. That's malice.
It's like, oh, Mark, oh, I'm bleeding.
They
gotcha. Got me.
Gotcha.
Ah, tricked again.
Oh, man.
I want to bite into a Wonder Ball and then just bees come out of it.
Like, bees!
Man, Wonder Balls. Ooh, I know we're ending the episode, and I'm chopping it up. But we should have an episode this month on candy.
Oh, are we just biting into Wonder Balls and get bees?
We'll each fill Wonder Balls with different things.
We all go out and get a few bags of candies, different candies. Everybody gets different candy, brings in a handful, a couple pieces for each person, and then we all taste test them.
I love it. If you have any ideas at home, if you're listening to this, send us in. There's a bunch of podcasts more of October season. There's 5 Saturdays. That means you're getting 5 unique podcasts, which means I'm here for 5 days.
Five whole days.
Oh, dude, I forgot there's a fifth weekend this month.
If you get paid weekly, bam, extra check. If you get paid biweekly, it's the same as every other thing because they really screw you over if they pay you biweekly. And then if you're working on tips, that's slave wage. So what the heck are you doing? Fix the system. Fix the system. I'm Jose Rodriguez. To my left, we have...
I'm Mike.
And then digitally remastered, we have...
Skyler, a.k.a. Olatho, OBLA.bandcamp.com, or officially Ola on Twitter.
But with that... I leave you with this Mandela effect. Tinkerbell, you know how she's like driving around and with her wand and she dots the I and Disney and the openers and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently she doesn't.
Oh, not anymore.
No, like ever. Thank you.